Amen. Well, today I'm continuing on the atonement cover, the Kaporet, part 3. But actually, 3 weeks ago, we began a study from the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus, on what's known as the Ha'aron HaBrit, on the Ark of the Covenant that God had instructed the children of Israel to build for him in the Sinai wilderness. Now, 2 weeks ago, we began a 3-week journey to look at the Kaporet, the atonement cover, which sits or it sat upon the Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in the Holy of Holies. And this Kaporet, this atonement cover, speaks of God's plan of redemption for all of the world. And today we're going to conclude this 4-part series as we look at the atonement cover, the Kaporet, part 3. If you have your scriptures with you today, who has their Bibles, their scriptures, the Tanakh with them today? Good. Some of you have it on your phone, on your tablets. Some of you have one of these traditional books here, known as the Holy Scriptures, the Tanakh, the Brit Chadashah. Don't leave home without it.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to Shemot, Exodus chapter 25, starting in verse 17. Exodus 25, starting in verse 17. And we read, "You are to make an atonement cover." The Hebrew is kaporet. And that word is related to the Moedim, the feast of Yom Kippur. That word kippur and kapara or kaporet has to do with atonement or covering. So you're to make an atonement cover, a kaporet, for the ark, for the aron, out of pure gold. It is to be 3 3/4 feet long, 2 1/4 feet high, and you are to make 2 cherubim, 2 cherubim out of gold. Make them of hammered work for the 2 ends of the ark cover. Make 1 keruv, 1 cherub, for 1 end, and 1 keruv for the other end, and make the cherubim, these cherubim, of 1 piece with the atonement cover at its 2 ends. And the cherubim will have their wings spread above so that their wings cover the aron, the ark. And their faces are toward each other. And they're looking at each other. These 2 cherub, they're looking at each other. But they're also looking toward the atonement cover, as it says here, that aron. And you are to put the atonement cover, the aron, on top of the ark. And inside the ark, you will put the testimony. These are the tablets, the laws, God's commandments, His mitzvot that I'm about to give you. There I will meet with you. God will meet there in that space where the 2 cherubim, the 2 wings tump together above the ark, above the aron, in that hollowed out space, the presence, the Shekhinah, the glory of God was going to meet with the people. And I will speak with you from above the atonement cover and from between the 2 cherubim which are on the ark, the aron, for the testimony about all the orders I'm giving you for the people of Israel. So today, we're continuing in verse 21. We've covered from 17 through 20, continuing in verse 21. It says, you are to put the atonement cover, the kaporet, on top of the aron, the ark. And inside the aron, the ark, you will put the testimony that I'm about to give to you. Now this kaporet, this atonement cover, was the supreme feature of the Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant, the most important feature or part of this Ark of the Covenant. And it's really, of all the scriptures and commandments and rites dealing with the Mosaic covenant and rites and laws, this was the most important thing in the Scripture because it spoke of God's redemption, God's plan of redemption, the blood that would be poured out upon that atonement cover, which would bring the forgiveness of sins and the redemption of not only the people of Israel, but of all mankind. Both the Jewish people and all the nations of the world would find redemption and atonement through this rite, where God said that the blood should be applied upon that covering. It covered over God's judgment upon His people for their sins, because inside the Aron, this ark, was a triune nature or trinity of three here. First, we see that the tablets were inside the Ark of the Covenant. And these tablets were a remembrance of the Torah that they had broken. In their sin, they broke God's laws, His Torah, His commandments. And secondly, within this Ark, covered over by this Ark cover, this kaparet, was that golden jar of manna, which spoke of how they had despised and grumbled against God, where they had said, "We're tired of this food. We're tired of eating this manna." They grumbled against God. They were not happy with the provision God had given them. And third, within this ark was Aaron's rod that budded, that spoke of their great rebellion. But covering over that all, these three things, which really spoke of judgment, God's blood covering was over it all, and God's forgiveness. It was only through the blood that was applied upon this atonement cover, this kaparet, that the children of Israel were forgiven of their sins. Salvation was by the way of the blood sacrifice. The whole of God's Word witnesses that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. In the very beginning, God taught this truth to Adam and to Chava, to Eve. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21 these words. And it says in Genesis 3:21 that Adonai, that God made garments or coats of skin for Adam and his wife, and He clothed them, or He covered them. So God provided this covering to cover their shame and to cover their sin. And blood has always been shed, or blood had been shed before these garments could be fashioned. For this atonement to take place, some animal that was innocent had to be slaughtered, and the blood had to be shed so that these garments could be given to Adam and Chava to cover over them. So blood had to be shed to cover over their sins. Because remember, they looked upon and they saw themselves and they realized that they were naked. They realized that they were carnal. They realized that they were full of sin. And this skin covered that sin, but blood had to be shed to cover that sin. This is the first example or picture in the Tanakh, which shows us the principle of what's known as substitutionary atonement, that is, a life for a life given for a life. And a coat here, as it talks about, or this covering, suggests that it was sufficient attire to cover them sufficiently or cover over their sins. Now in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Tanakh, the Old Covenant of Scripture, the word coat is chiton, which was a garment that was actually reaching down to the feet. In the Hebrew text, the word is katnot, which can be translated as a shirt or a garment or a robe or a coat. But this word also had the meaning to cover or to hide them, indicating that the clothing was sufficient to hide or cover over their sin. And that's exactly what atonement means, to cover up. And that's why it's an atonement cover, because it covered over the sin of the people. And it covered over those articles that were in the ark which represented their sins. The atonement cover, this kaporet holding that blood of atonement, completely covered over that objects that were in the Aron HaBarit, in the Ark of the Covenant, which were the reminders of God's judgment upon the children of Israel. And we remember what it says in the book of Psalms 32 and verse 1, where it says, "Blessed is he whose sins are covered." Thank you, Lord. Blessed is he whose sins are covered. Now, there were dangerous results from uncovering or even touching this Aron, this ark. And we see an example of this recorded in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, and verses 6 through 7. 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 through 7. It says that when they came to the threshing floor of Nachon, Uzzah reached out and he took hold of the ark of God. To steady it, he thought, because the oxen had stumbled. Uzzah thought that God needed help here. The oxen were stumbling, and Uzzah reached out to steady the ark because he thought, "Well, God, I'm going to help you. You need my help to do this." But God said, "No, Uzzah, I don't need your help." And it says that the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of this irreverent act. He had no business touching the ark. It had to be done a certain way in God's prescribed manner. It was irreverent what he did. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the ark of God. Now, this was very troubling for Melech David, King David. He didn't realize that God was serious about his word and his commandments. Now, Uzzah's intent here, it may have been good. You know, God, I'm just steadying your ark. His intentions were probably good, but it was still wrong. Both he and King David violated the Torah. There were clear instructions that the Lord had given concerning the handling of this Aron HaBarit, this Ark of the Covenant. Specific rules. The ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. That's how it was to be covered. There were four rings on the side of the ark. Two in front, it's hard to tell which side is the front, which side is the back, but two on one side and two on the other side, and these golden poles were to be put through on each side. And then the burden of the ark was to be carried upon the Levites. It was not to be carried on a cart being pulled by an oxen. King David violated the Torah. And Numbers 4, verse 15 says, "But they must not touch the holy things, or they will die." God's word is serious, and we need to listen to God's word and what he tells us in his word. Now, the blood on the kaporet, on this atonement cover, testified of the life that was poured out. Again, a life for a life that was prophesied in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17 and verse 11, a well-known scripture which says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Our life is bound up in the blood that's flowing through us. The blood gives us life. As soon as when our blood stops flowing, if our heart stops beating, we die. Because the blood is not flowing and replenishing and nourishing the body, you'll die. "And I have given it to you to make upon the altar," or "give it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. for it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. It stands for the death of Messiah Yeshua, which canceled out the claims of Satan, who was the accuser upon the sinner. Now first, this cover, this atonement cover, was to be placed on the Aron, on the ark. And then the Torah, the tablets, were to be put inside. And the reason for that is because mercy is offered first to the sinner, who, if he rejects it, must suffer the judgment of the Torah, or the law. As it says in John 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath or God's judgment remains on him for those who have no covering. That's why it said that this kaporet, this atonement cover, was also known as a mercy seat. It's really not a proper translation of it, but in a sense it fits perfectly, because God's mercy was to cover over the sins, but it was based upon the blood that was on the cover, not based on us or anything that we could ever do, but based totally on the blood. Exodus chapter 25, going back to the text, says in verse 22, Exodus 25, 22 says, there I will meet with you. I will speak with you from above the kaporet, above the atonement cover, from between the two cherubim, which are on the aron, on the ark, for the testimony about all the orders I'm giving you for the people of Israel. Now God told Moses, that he would commune, in other words, that he would tabernacle with him above this kaporet, above this atonement cover, at his timing, at his appointment. Of course, this is why it's called the Moedim, or God's appointed times, because God appointed these times, times where the people would meet with him. It was a privilege, and it was an honor, it was a blessing to Moshe that he could enter into this Kodesh, Kodeshim, this Holy of Holies, and be in the very presence, to be in the Shekhinah, to be in the glory of God. Now the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, he could only enter this Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, only once a year. And he could only do it on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. But Moshe, he could enter it at any time that God called him. Can you imagine that? God would call Moshe and tell him, meet with me in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in the Holy of Holies. I have a word for you. To be in the very presence of God. So in this sense, Moshe was a type, or he was a prefiguration of the Messiah himself. He was like the Messiah. He was an intercessor. He was also known as a redeemer of Israel, as he redeemed the Jewish people, brought them out of the land, and it was God who brought the redemption, but through Moses he used to be the redeemer of Israel. The Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, are represented in him. They stand before the Father, they stand before Abba, through the Son, HaBen, and are recognized as sons in the one and only true Son. And it was a privilege, or it is a privilege, and it's an honor, that the blessing that God has bestowed upon us here, who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, to come into God's throne room, into that Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, where we can commune with God at that kaporet, at that atonement cover, and find God's mercy for our lives. And what a wonderful appointment that we have with God. At all times we have His blessing, His fellowship through the Messiah, Yeshua. No longer is it a judgment throne, but it's a place of mercy where we can seek the mercy of God. But again, it's through the blood that was applied upon the kaporet, that mercy covering there. Romans 3:25 in the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant of Scripture, says that God set forth Yeshua as an kapara, as a covering, or as an atonement through faith in His blood. And we all must have faith in that blood that was shed. That the blood of Messiah was not shed for naught. That blood brought about salvation for the world, redemption for all mankind. That blood was precious. And we are not to take it for granted in any way whatsoever. We can come boldly, though, before the throne of His grace because we are washed through that sacrifice of the Lamb. Also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 16, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We also read a little bit further in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, this Kodesh HaKodeshim, by the blood of Yeshua." Then skipping to verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from our sin." Thank you, Lord. Now these cherubim, these cherubim, are always looking toward the place where the blood of atonement is sprinkled. And it's our responsibility as well to continually look upon or toward the kaporet, this atonement cover, or Yeshua, where that precious blood speaks for the remission of our sins. That's our responsibility. And between the two cherubim dwelt that Shekinah, dwelt that glory in the presence of God. And the cherubim represent us, the believers, who are one with the Messiah, as they were one with the kaporet, the atonement cover, looking toward the blood and God's mercy. We are like the cherubim, looking toward the covering, the atonement, looking toward the blood, and thanking God for His mercy. You know, God longs to commune in our Kodesh HaKodeshim. God longs to dwell, commune in our Holy of Holies. God wants to be in your Holy of Holies, in the within the Mikdash, our inner sanctuary. That's where God wants to dwell. God desires to shechan, to dwell, to tabernacle in the very center of our lives. And this is the promise of the Father, His coming to dwell, to tabernacle in us as the believer. That's His promise. He had been with them, but would be within them now by the infilling of the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. John 14 in the Brit Chadashah, John 14, verse 17 says that the world cannot accept Him. And it's true to this day. The world cannot accept Yeshua. Because it is neither sees Him nor knows Him. But He says, but you know Him. You in this room. But you know Him. For He lives with you and will be in you. And for those of us who have received Him, His promise is to be within us, to dwell within us, within our inner sanctuary, the Mikdash, within that sanctuary, that He would be within us. that the Shekhinah, the very glory of God, would dwell between the cherubim on the blood-sprinkled atonement cover of our heart. Of our heart. So as I'm concluding this four-part series, and if you've missed part one and two and three, it's on our website. You can listen to it in its entirety, as well as numbers of months of messages that's on there. You can hear. But in conclusion, I want to show God's desire for His people. In Exodus 25, verse 8, we read, "And let them make me," this is God speaking, "let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Listen to this verse again. Exodus 25, 8 says, "And let them make me," God speaking, "let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now there's three words in this sentence here I want us to learn about. The first word is sanctuary, which comes from the Hebrew mikdash, which means the holy place or the innermost. It means a consecrated place or a thing. In the Brit Chadasha, in the New Covenant, in the Greek, the word is naos, meaning the central or the inner shrine or the most holy place within us. And Yeshua spoke of this. He used that word of His body. He used that word naos in John 2:19, where He says, "Destroy this naos," this temple, this sanctuary, this holy place, "and I will raise it up again in 3 days." The second word in that sentence, in Exodus 25:8, God used the Hebrew word shechan, or dwell, where He says, "I dwell among them," to imply a permanent abiding place and a rest among His people. In the Hebrew, that word in that sentence, "that I may dwell among them," that word "among" is tavek. It's actually a stronger expression, which literally means in the midst of, or within, the center, between, in the middle of, and out of. So if you put these three Hebrew words together from this sentence, "and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them," we take these three Hebrew words, mikdash, shechan, and tavek, together, we see the true meaning that God wished to convey to His people. And that is that God desires to permanently abide, to dwell within or among our innermost part, our sanctuary, our holy place. I just want to repeat that. If we take those three words, mikdash, shechan, tavek, together, we see God's true meaning, that He wanted us to understand that He desires to permanently dwell, abide within, among our innermost sanctuary, our holy place. And if you truly get this, if you truly understand this, then it really will change your life. That God wants to be with you. That God loves you. That God misses you when you're out of communion. That God wants to spend time with you. That God wants to be more than a name or a page in a book. That He wants to dwell within you and be a part of your life and abide in you and in your most inner sanctuary, the holy place, the sanctuary of your heart. That's where God desires. And this whole message of the Aron HaBrit, this Ark of the Covenant and the Kaporet, the Atonement Cover, was God trying to show us that it is His desire to live and abide and dwell in each one of us, but because of our sin, this could not take place. So God provided the ways and the means by allowing the blood of the Lamb to be shed upon the Kaporet, the atonement cover, that as the cherubim looked upon that blood, and as we look upon that blood, we can have forgiveness of sin, redemption, and eternal life. What a message for us to take with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The most inner area of our life, the sanctuary,